Now let's just quickly go over. Let's quickly go over the opening sections of chapter 18. Could you close the window? Now, Krishna begins to summarize the 18th chapter, or rather summarize the entire Bhagavad Gita in the 18th chapter. And he begins by starting with one of the main points of how to work in such a way that one is freed from reaction to that work. And the basic way is working in a detached way, doing one's duty in a detached way, and that's called nishkam karma. And to explain that, Arjuna asks a question about sannyas and tyag, and Krishna's conclusion that the renounced order of life and renunciation of the fruits of activities are exactly the same. And therefore, one should work and do his duty. The second section describes how that same position of renunciation, or rather of freedom from reaction, is attained by through jnana. The first was through karma, and the second is through analyzing, through an analytical knowledge of action. One can actually become free from the fruits of reaction, and that is jnana. And that jnana ultimately brings one to understand that the sanctioner of all action, or after one analyzes actions minutely and breaks them up into their five component parts, one understands that the ultimate sanctioner of all actions is the Super Soul. And He is the Supreme Lord, He is Paramatma, and one should surrender to that Super Soul. And then one is free naturally from all reactions to his work. Then, if one understands that he is not the doer, because that section, the second section, begins by describing that we are not the doer. One who thinks that he is the only doer is an illusion. So if one is not doing his work, who is doing it? So in the third section, it describes how sacrifice, charity, and austerity, which have been recommended in and determination, etc., which have been recommended earlier, they can be done through the three modes of material nature. And the material nature is the doer. According to one's situation in the modes, one acts or does in a particular way. So after explaining in the third section how the modes are doing everything, then in the fourth section, it describes how one can achieve liberation or freedom from reaction or elevate himself even though he is in the modes of material nature. Because one is in a difficult position. We're talking about becoming free and becoming liberated. And yet, how can one do it? Because he's bound. So the fourth section describes, which we completed yesterday, describes how by acting properly as a Kshatriya, Vaishya, Brahmana, or Sudra, any man, by worshipping the Lord through those prescribed duties, through acting according to the Vedic rites, through those modes of material nature which put him in a particular vana, then any man, every man, can become perfect. And therefore, it is better to do one's own duty, even if one performs it imperfectly, than to do the duty of another. So that's where we left off yesterday. Now we'll begin speaking about text 49. That led us up to 48. Please. Now, 49. After describing in the previous section how one, through performing his prescribed duty, and worshiping the Lord, or in other words, nishkam karma, one gets free from reactions, then this section is how to become elevated further from freedom from reactions, to the highest stage of freedom from reactions. One who is self-controlled and unattached and who disregards all material enjoyments can obtain by practice of renunciation the highest perfect stage of freedom from reaction. O son of Kunti, learn from me how one who has achieved this perfection can attain to the supreme perfectional stage, Brahman, the highest state of knowledge, by acting in the way I shall now summarize. So when one is purified, detached, and yet acting, one can come to the next stage of Brahman realization by acting or working in the way that Krishna is now going to summarize. So there are different stages here. And we've heard about these before. So this is describing the yoga ladder, practically speaking. How one rises from just working to following the Vedic formulas to detached work. By offering the fruit of one's work to the Lord, one gets to perform detached work. And then detached work puts one naturally in the mode of goodness. And then by working further in a detached way, one comes to the platform of full knowledge, knowing that he's not his body. And then when he understands the super soul, this is how the yoga ladder described it, then one can actually attain liberation. So here's the process to bring one from the platform of detached work through actually jnana yoga to the platform of Brahman. Being purified by his intelligence and controlling the mind with determination, giving up the objects of sense gratification, being freed from attachment and hatred, one who lives in a secluded place, who eats little, who controls his body, mind, and power of speech, who is always in trance and who is detached, free from false ego, false strength, false pride, lust, anger, and acceptance of material things, free from false proprietorship and peaceful, such a person is certainly elevated to the position of self-realization. Purport. When one is purified by intelligence, he keeps himself in the mode of goodness. Thus, one becomes the controller of the mind and is always in trance. He is not attached to the objects of sense gratification, and he is free from attachment and hatred in his activities. Such a detached person naturally prefers to live in a secluded place. He does not eat more than what he requires, and he controls the activities of his body and mind. He has no false ego because he does not accept the body as himself, nor has he a desire to make the body fat and strong by accepting so many material things. Because he has no bodily concept of life, he is not falsely proud. He is satisfied with everything that is offered to him by the grace of the Lord, and he is never angry in the absence of sense gratification. Nor does he endeavor to acquire sense gratification. Thus, when he is completely free from false ego, he becomes non-attached to all material things, and that is the stage of self-realization of Brahman. That stage is called the Brahma-Bhuta stage. When one is free from the material conception of life, he becomes peaceful and cannot be agitated. This is described in Bhagavad Gita 270. Apur yamanam machala patishtam samudra apra praveshanti advat tarvat kamayam praveshanti sarve sashanti mabnoti nakamakami. A person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is ever being filled but is always still, can alone achieve peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. 1854. One who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments or desires to have anything. He is equally disposed towards every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service to me. So, by coming to the detached platform, one can then come to the Brahman platform. And then, on the Brahman platform, on the platform free from the three modes of material nature, free from even goodness, then, and only then, one can actually render pure devotional service unto Krishna. Mad bhaktim labhate param. One can understand me as I am, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by such devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of me by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. So, by devotion, and devotion only, when one is pure, one can actually enter into the kingdom of God. And that is called pure devotional service. So here we have heard how to go from the platform of Nishkam Karma through complete detachment to knowledge, to Brahman, and then on the Brahman platform, render devotional service. So what will make one stop at Brahman or go up to devotional service? And the answer is one's desire. So if one is acting and performing jnana yoga to simply achieve Brahman platform, sayujya mukti, to merge into the effulgence of the Lord, one will not come to the platform of devotional service. But if one is acting in such a way with performing Krishna conscious activities, attempting to achieve the lotus feet of Krishna, one will come to the Brahman platform and understand that Krishna is the source of that Brahman, and his real devotional service will begin on that platform. So it depends on one's desire. If one desires Krishna, Krishna will not force that devotee to merge into Brahman. And on the other hand, if one is desiring to merge into Brahman, Krishna will not force that Brahma Jyoti Wala to render service unto him. The last paragraph of the purport, Prabhupada explains, after attainment of the Brahma-Bhuta stage of freedom from material conception, devotional service begins by one's hearing about the Lord. When one hears about the Supreme Lord, automatically the Brahma-Bhuta stage develops, and material contamination, greediness, and lust for sense enjoyment disappears. As lust and desires disappear from the heart of a devotee, he becomes more attached to the service of the Lord, and by such attachment he becomes free from material contamination. In that state of life, he can understand the Supreme Lord. This is the statement of Srimad Bhagavatam also. After liberation, the process of bhakti, or transcendental service, continues. The Vedanta Sutra confirms this, aprayanat tatrapi drisam. This means that after liberation, the process of devotional service continues. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, real devotional liberation is defined as the reinstatement of the living entity in his own identity, his own constitutional position. The constitutional position is already explained. Every living entity is a part and parcel, fragmental portion of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, his constitutional position is to serve. After liberation, this service is never stopped. Actual liberation is getting freed from misconceptions of life. Now, after describing this yoga ladder, Krishna is going to describe in the next section working in pure devotional service on this level. And then he gives Arjuna a choice. Though engaged in all kinds of activities, my pure devotees, under my protection, reach the eternal and imperishable abode by my grace. In all activities, just depend upon me and work always under my protection, and such devotional service be fully conscious of me. If you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness, but act through false ego, not hearing me, you will be lost. If you do not act according to my direction and do not fight, then you will be falsely directed. By your nature, you will have to be engaged in warfare. It's interesting to note here what Krishna has just said, that Arjuna, by his nature, whether he desires to surrender to Krishna or not, what will his activities be?
Fight,
exactly. So yet, Krishna has been preaching to Arjuna through 17 chapters, 17 and a half chapters, telling him to surrender and fight, surrender and fight, and surrender and fight. And here Krishna is saying, even if you don't surrender, by your own nature you're going to have to fight. So was it necessary for Krishna to preach to Arjuna to fight? Yes, but he just said, even if you don't surrender to me, you'll have to be engaged in warfare. So he's going to have to fight anyway.
Otherwise, he would have fought on the material platform and obtained material results.
Right. So it's not to get Arjuna to fight exactly that Krishna is preaching in this way. It's to get him to fight in the proper consciousness, in Krishna consciousness. So therefore, he tells him to surrender. And surrender means you fight on my order. And you do it. These people, as Krishna has already explained, Bhishma, Karna, Drona, all these warriors are already killed by me. Kalosmin Loka Chaya Krit, 11th chapter. Time I am. I have come to destroy all of them. So Krishna has already killed them, so he doesn't need Arjuna to fight to win the battle. But it is in Arjuna's interest to become a servant of Krishna. It is the interest of all living entities to serve Krishna. It is not in Krishna's interest. It is in our interest to surrender to Krishna and fight for Him. And as Prabhupada said once, I read it in a conversation book, and it's one of those quotes that must stick in one's mind. He said, "We want Arjunas or we want no one." So we have to be ready to surrender. And then, after surrendering, then work on behalf of Krishna. And that is bhakti. And that is the difference between bhakti and nishkam karma. Bhakti is you surrender and then you work. And nishkam karma is you work and then you surrender. The results. That attachment to work is there. And it's not ultimately considered bhakti. But it leads to bhakti, as we have described, if one is in the proper association. Now, under illusion, you are now declining to act according to my direction, but compelled by the work born of your own nature, you will act all the same, O son of Kunti. Or in the previous verse, you will have to be engaged in warfare. So Krishna he's preaching to all living entities, conditioned souls here, to surrender, to surrender, to surrender to Him, for it is in their interest. Now, after describing how to come to the Brahman platform and then engage in devotional service, the next section describes the Super Soul platform. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. O Scion of Bharata, surrender unto Him. Surrender unto Him utterly. Utterly means completely. Tam eva sharanam gatscha sarva bhavena bharata. So that sarva bhavena bharata, who remembers where that line is also mentioned? Chapter 15. Yomam evam samudho janati purushottama sasava vid bhajante mam sarva bhavena bharata. One who knows me is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Or actually, he's talking about the Super Soul there also. Without doubting, he is sasava vid. He knows everything. He's sarvavid, bhajante mam. And therefore, because of his knowledge, bhajante mam, he worships me. How? Sarva bhavena bharata. In all respects. That is surrender. Surrender doesn't mean that one surrenders something and holds back something else. That is not surrender. nor will that so-called surrender ever blossom into prema or love. So one has to surrender in all respects, and then that will blossom and grow into prema bhakti. O Sayana Bharata, surrender to him utterly. By his grace, you will attain transcendental peace and the supreme eternal abode. Thus, I have explained to you knowledge still more confidential. Deliberate on this fully, and then do what you wish to do. Purport. The Lord has already explained to Arjuna the knowledge of Brahma-Bhuta. One who is in the Brahma-Bhuta condition is joyful. He never laments, nor does he desire anything. That is due to confidential knowledge. Krishna also discloses knowledge of the Supersoul. This is also Brahman knowledge, knowledge of Brahman, but it is superior. Hear the words, Yatstate chasi tata kuru, as you like, you may act, indicate that God does not interfere with the little independence of the living entity. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord has explained in all respects how one can elevate his living condition. The best advice imparted to Arjuna is to surrender unto the Supersoul seated within his heart. By right discrimination, one should agree to act according to the order of the Lord. That will help one become situated constantly in Krishna consciousness, the highest perfectional stage of human life. Arjuna is being directly ordered by the personality of Godhead to fight. Surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is in the best interest of the living entity. It is not for the interest of the Supreme. Before surrendering, one is free to deliberate on this subject as far as the intelligence goes. That is the best way to accept the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such instructions comes also through the spiritual master, the bona fide representative of Krishna. Now, Krishna has just explained the most confidential knowledge. Now, where is a similar verse to that located? To surrender to the Supersoul. Krishna has just blessed the most confidential knowledge. Surrender to the Supersoul. Now, who has an old version of the Bhagavad Gita? Okay. Raise your hands again. Okay, you read loudly your old version.
Of what?
Of text 64.
Translation?
Yes.
Because you are my very dear friend, I am speaking to you the most confidential part of knowledge. Hear this from me, for it is for your benefit.
Okay. Let's read the last verse, 63.
Thus I have explained to you the most confidential of all knowledge.
Yes. Okay, there it is. Now, what did Krishna explain that was the most confidential the most confidential of all knowledge? Supersoul. But is that the most confidential of all knowledge? Read it again.
There's one more.
No. Again, read it. Okay, read all of 63.
Thus I have explained to you the most confidential of all knowledge.
Thus I have explained to you. That means past tense. That means the knowledge of the Supersoul, according to this, is the most confidential of all knowledge. Go ahead.
Deliberate on this fully and then do what you wish to do.
Right. So the newer translation, which is more accurate, thus I have explained to you knowledge still more confidential. Because that it directly states that knowledge of the Supersoul is the most confidential of all knowledge. But that is not a fact. Because Krishna is now, although that is the most confidential knowledge, Krishna is now going to explain the most confidential knowledge. Hear this from me, for it is for your benefit. As Krishna says in 64, in this, because you are my very dear friend, I'm speaking to you my supreme instruction. Here it comes, the most supreme instruction, the most confidential knowledge of all. Hear this from me, for it is for your benefit. And this next verse is Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru Mame Vyasyasi Satyam Te Pratijane Priyosime. And at the end of chapter 9, the same verse is almost exactly the same verse. Is there Manmana Bhavabad Bhakto Madhiji Mam Namaskuru Mam Evasyasi Yukjai Vam Atmanam Matparayana? And this chapter is entitled what? Chapter 9 is entitled what? The Most Confidential Knowledge. And here is that most confidential knowledge summarized by Krishna. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. Purport. The most confidential part of knowledge is that one should become a pure devotee of Krishna and always think of him and act for him. One should not become an official meditator. Life should be so molded that one will always have the chance to think of Krishna. One should always act in such a way that all his daily activities are in connection with Krishna. He should arrange his life in such a way that throughout the 24 hours he cannot but think of Krishna. And the Lord's promise is that anyone who is in such pure Krishna consciousness will certainly return to the abode of Krishna, while he will be engaged in the association of Krishna face to face. This most confidential part of knowledge is spoken to Arjuna because he is a dear friend of Krishna. Everyone who follows the path of Arjuna can become a dear friend to Krishna and obtain the same perfection as Arjuna. These words stress that one should concentrate his mind upon Krishna, the very form with two hands carrying a flute, the bluish boy with a beautiful face and a peacock feather in his hair. There are descriptions of Krishna found in the Brahma Samhita and other literatures. One should fix his mind on this original form of Godhead, Krishna. One should not even divert his attention to other forms of the Lord. The Lord has multi-forms as Vishnu, Narayan, Rama, Varaha, etc. But a devotee should concentrate his mind on the form that was present before Arjuna. Concentration of the mind on the form of Krishna constitutes the most confidential part of knowledge. And this is disclosed to Arjuna because Arjuna is the most dear friend of Krishna's. Sarvadamam prityaja mamekam sharanam braja ham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshishyami ma shucha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. This confidential knowledge may never be explained to those who are not austere or devoted or engaged in devotional service, nor to one who is envious of me. We're moving from the most confidential knowledge of all to become a pure devotee of Krishna and always think of him to the next section about preaching and studying the Bhagavad Gita, some instructions on this. This confidential may not be explained to those who are not austere or devoted or engaged in devotional service, nor to those who are envious of me. So Prabhupada explains in the purports to these commentaries that I'll read in the next verse. For one who explains this supreme secret to the devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed, and at the end he will come back to me. Generally, it is advised that the Bhagavad Gita be discussed amongst the devotees only. For those who are not devotees will understand neither Krishna nor Bhagavad Gita. Those who do not accept Krishna as he is, and Bhagavad Gita as it is, should not try to explain Bhagavad Gita whimsically and become offenders. Bhagavad Gita should be explained to persons who are ready to accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is a subject matter for the devotees only and not for philosophical speculators. Anyone, whoever, who tries to sincerely present Bhagavad Gita as it is will advance in devotional activities and reach the pure devotional state of life. As a result of such pure devotion, he is sure to go back home, back to Godhead. There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he who explains Bhagavad Gita. Nor will there be anyone more dear. And I declare that he who studies this sacred conversation of ours worships me by his intelligence. And one who listens with faith and without envy becomes free from sinful reaction and attains the auspicious planets where the pious dwell. So not only one who studies, but even one who hears, as long as he hears without envy, is greatly benefited. And Prabhupada explains in the purport. In the 67th verse of this chapter, the Lord explicitly forbade the Gita's being spoken to those who are envious of the Lord. In other words, Bhagavad Gita is for the devotees only. But it so happens that sometimes a devotee of the Lord will hold open class. And in that class, not all the students are expected to be devotees. Why do such persons hold open class? It is explained here that although not everyone is a devotee, still there are many men who are not envious of Krishna. They have faith in Him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If such persons hear from a bona fide devotee about the Lord, the result is that they become at once free from all sinful reactions, and after that attain to the planetary systems where all righteous persons are situated. Therefore, simply by hearing Bhagavad Gita, even a person who does not try to be a pure devotee attains the result of righteous activities. Thus, a pure devotee of the Lord gives everyone a chance to become free from all sinful reactions and to become a devotee of the Lord. Now, this is very important in so many ways. But one way, this confidential secret that Krishna prefers and gives such preferential treatment to one who explains the Bhagavad Gita, especially to the devotees or to anyone who will listen in the in proper consciousness. So now you are hearing Bhagavad Gita. So you should study Bhagavad Gita, and then you should explain Bhagavad Gita and preach Bhagavad Gita, and Krishna will be so pleased with each and every one of you who does this. And although we may have so many disqualifications according to our purva sanskars or previous impressions and previous karma, we may have so many disqualifications, but if we take up very seriously the preaching of Bhagavad Gita because of Krishna's mercy to his preacher, such a preacher will, as Krishna said, be able to achieve Krishna's planet. And there is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be anyone more dear. For one who explains the supreme secret to the devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed. And at the end, he will come back to me. So take this seriously. If one wants to become dear to Krishna and go back to Godhead, explain this very intimate and special and powerful conversation which dispels darkness, which has been compared to a river of nectar flowing from the mouth of Krishna to Arjuna. So take this, learn it, study it, deeply, and then preach Bhagavad Gita, and so many auspicious results will be there. O son of Prita, O conqueror of wealth, have you heard this with an attentive mind? And are your ignorance and illusions now dispelled? So if Krishna is asking, Krishna the teacher is asking Arjuna his student, do you understand now what you have to do? Do you understand? Have you heard properly? And why is Krishna asking this? Because out of his great patience and affection for his student, Arjuna, who has surrendered to him, if Arjuna hadn't been able to understand, Krishna was fully prepared to explain the entire Bhagavad Gita again. O infallible one, my illusion is now gone. I have regained my memory by your mercy. I am now firm and free from doubt, and I am prepared to act according to your instructions. After surrendering to Krishna and hearing from Krishna, then he was prepared to fight according to Krishna's instructions and in proper consciousness, Krishna consciousness. Sanjay said, thus I have heard the conversation of two great souls, Krishna and Arjuna. And so wonderful is that message that my hair is standing on end. By the mercy of Vyas, I have heard these most confidential talks directly from the master of all mysticism, Krishna, who is speaking personally to Arjuna. O King, as I repeatedly recall this wondrous and holy dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna, I take pleasure being thrilled at every moment. O King, as I remember the wonderful form of Lord Krishna, I am struck with wonder more and more, and I rejoice again and again. Yatra Yogeshvaro Krishna, Yatra Partha Dhanuradhara, Tatra Sri Vijayo Bhutir Dhruva Nitir Matir Mama. Wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, and wherever there is Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will also certainly be opulence, victory, extraordinary power, and morality. That is my opinion. So there, Sanjay is speaking to Dhritarashtra, who is wondering what's going to happen in this battle. What is going to happen? Who is going to win? Are the Kauravas going to defeat the Pandavas? Despite the fact that they are... despite the fact that they are opposing Krishna. And Dhritarashtra was so eager, if we remember, way back when, on our first day, Dhritarashtra was so eager when Sanjay informed him that Arjuna had put down his arrows and was standing in the middle of the battlefield perplexed. And now, after reciting the entire Bhagavad Gita, Dhritarashtra is being informed by Sanjaya that there is no hope for his sons to win. Because wherever there is Krishna, there will be victory and all opulence and extraordinary power and morality. And that is the opinion of Sanjaya. From Bhagavad Gita, we can understand that to realize oneself by philosophical speculation and by meditation is one process. But to fully surrender unto Krishna as the highest perfection, this is the essence of the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. The path of regulative principles according to the orders of social life and according to the different courses of religion may be a confidential path of knowledge. But although the rituals of religion are confidential, meditation and cultivation of knowledge are still more confidential. And surrender unto Krishna in devotional service and full Krishna consciousness is the most confidential instruction. That is the essence of the 18th chapter. And the last... Next to last paragraph to the end. In Bhagavad Gita, five principal subject matters have been discussed. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, material nature, the living entities, eternal time, and all kinds of activities. All is dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. All conceptions of the Absolute Truth, impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, and any other transcendental conception exist within the category of understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although superficially the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the living entity, material nature, and time appear to be different, nothing is different from the Supreme. But the Supreme is always different from everything. Lord Chaitanya's philosophy is that of inconceivable oneness and difference, achintya bheda bheda. This system of philosophy constitutes perfect knowledge of the Absolute Truth. The living entity in his original position is pure spirit soul. He is just like an atomic particle of the Supreme Spirit. Thus Lord Krishna may be compared to the sun and the living entities to sunshine. Because the living entities are the marginal energy of Krishna, they have a tendency to be in contact either with the material energy or with the spiritual energy. In other words, the living entity is situated between the two energies of the Lord. And because he belongs to the superior energy of the Lord, he is a particle of independence. By proper use of that independence, he comes under the direct order of Krishna. Thus he attains his normal condition in the pleasure-giving potency. Thus then the Bhaktivedanta purports to the 18th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita and the matter of its conclusion, the perfection of renunciation. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki. Shri Krishna, Shri Arjuna, and Srila Prabhupada ki. Gaura Premanande. Those hearers of the Bhagavad Gita ki, who have heard attentively and have so patiently listened and listened and listened with a great desire to attain the lotus feet of Krishna. How wonderful. Now, and right at the end, a very nice point was made by Prabhupada, how the living entity is marginal. So if he associates with matter, he will become wet. He will become matter conscious. But yet, on the other hand, if he associates with the spiritual energy, he will become elevated and Krishna conscious. So this is the secret of Krishna consciousness, its association. So always keep in the right of association of the devotees, of the Shastra, of the Mahamantra, of the deities, of prasadam, and never, never drift from this association, this spiritual association. Then one will always be protected. If one drifts away like a riven cloud, one will dissipate. But not really, because whatever one gains will always be his benefit, as Krishna explains. But always keep in the association of devotees, and always avoid intimate association with non-devotees. Always hear the Shastra, always chant, and always pray to Krishna to Tandera Charana Sevi Bhakti Sanivas Janame Janami Hoy E Abhilas. Always, Narottama Das Thakur plays, my only desire is to stay in the association of devotees and render association there. Janame Janame Hoy E, even birth after birth. So stay always in the association of devotees. Stay always in Vrindavan Dham. If one can't live in Vrindavan Dham physically, one should live there mentally. If one is preaching in China and can't associate with devotees so much, one should mentally associate with devotees and serve the devotees and serve Krishna in so many ways. So Krishna consciousness is unlimited, inexhaustible, and for those who are pure and simple-hearted, it's very easy to perform. So please study Bhagavad Gita also and preach Bhagavad Gita. Thank you. Hare Krishna.